Talking about Father's Day, I went to the dictionary to find out what the word father means. And this is what it says from the Oxford Languages. It says, a man in relation to his child or children. And it is with this in mind that I like to share with you the message of the Word of God. But before I can go any further, I'm going to ask you this one question, if you would answer that in your own heart. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know him as your Saviour, are you willing to say that you obey the Word of God? Answer that in your own heart. Do you obey the Word of God? Do you obey the Word of God even though what it says is very difficult to deal with and to handle? Do you obey it? I think there's a challenge for all of us in our Christian relationship to the Lord. Sometimes we struggle with things and we find very difficult because we are used to walking in the flesh. We have our sinful nature. The world has raised us up and reared us up. So our philosophies, generally speaking, is that of a worldly type philosophy. And when we get saved, all these new and different things come into our mind and we have to deal with them. I'm going to take you back to the early 1970s. And again, there are three questions that I want to ask you if you will answer them in your heart. From a Christian perspective, do you believe a life in Christ and in the ministry of the local church would be the same then as it is today? Do you believe it's the same? Question two, if you could be taken back to the past, would you feel quite comfortable in the local church back then? Would you feel at home? And question three, would there be any differences then today that may appear to you to be strange and foreign? What I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to share my testimony or my experience as it comes to learning to be a father. That means a father in relation to his child or children. And to give you a little bit of feedback, I was saved at the age of 15. I married at the age of 20 to a non-Christian woman. Our early marriage days were just simply living like the world. We lived in Sydney at the time. We had nothing to do with Christianity, which was foreign to us. And then my wife got invited to some ladies' meetings which were being held two doors down. And during those ladies' meeting, my wife came home and told me that she got saved. And when I started to question her about that and the organisation or the people at this meeting that she was attending, she told me it was run by the People's Church. And immediately I thought at that time that this is some sort of communistic system and they're trying to ensnare or entrap my wife. And so I made an effort to find out what this People's Church was all about. And as a matter of fact, that church is still in existence today. It's Gondle Park Bible Church. Some of you may be familiar with Gondle Park Bible Church. They were the ones who were involved in starting a work in Moorbank, and Gondle Park was not all that far away. And then we got a visit from an American missionary who was actually starting a work in our area. And he invited us to attend the services. which we did, but we didn't want to go to Sunday school, which started first, because my wife and I thought that was just for kids. That was the beginning of our walk with the Lord, because my wife did get saved. Now, I want you to bear in mind in my testimony that my wife knew nothing and I knew nothing about the Bible. We didn't read it. Had no idea. So everything that we received came from the church, the local church that we attended, and the people that were in the local church. And during that time, we got convicted on alcohol. And so the step began. We tipped all our bottles of booze down the drain, and I had just stocked up. Anyway, we have the cleanest drain probably in the suburb. But we believe that that was honouring God. And then we got convicted about tobacco. And that was a real hard one, because I smoked 20 cigarettes a day. My wife, who had what they termed in those days, she had a mental breakdown before I met her. And she was still suffering the effects of that when I met her. So she was a bag and a bundle of nerves. Now, we got three doctors in the service this morning. So I wonder if they would give the same advice. They told my wife, for the sake of her nerves, to take up smoking. How about that? She was told to take up smoking by the doctor, and she ended up smoking 40 cigarettes a day. And she wouldn't go to bed unless she smoked all the 40 cigarettes, two packets, 20 in a packet. So in order for her to get victory over that, it was a tremendous struggle. But by the grace of God, she overcame that. And then we got confronted with my role as being the head of the house. Now, that again was totally foreign to me. My background, my European background, is simply that I was the one who went out and went to work. I brought home the bacon, as the saying goes. And when I got home, I expected to have my meal ready and cooked. And my wife was responsible to look after the children. Very simple, no problem at all. And now I'm confronted with this issue, and again, I had absolutely no idea what it meant to be the head of the house. So again, we sought the advice from the brethren, and we started to read the Bible and to try and get some feedback in that area. Our first child was born, and her name was Jody. Again, we had no idea how to bring up a child. Absolutely no idea. And keep in mind, in the 1970s, there was no computer. There was no telephone, no mobile phone in the house. There was the phone on the corner of the street, the payphone there, and that was it. So we could not go to the media in order to Google it or to find out what it means for a father, a Christian, to be a father and how to bring up a child. Again, we had to turn to the local church, and we had to turn to the brethren to give us some advice in that area and to lead us onto that. They gave me Bible verses on the training of a child. And they, at first, when I saw them, they were quite confronting. And this is why I ask you, do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God? And do you obey the Word regardless? Okay? That's the big question. So here's the verse the verses that they gave me. And I want to challenge you in the verses that we are going to look at, that you get an A4 sheet, that you print out these verses in big letters on these sheets, and you might write some captions on it. And so when these verses are printed, you pin them to the wall. Or you, where the husband's going to shave, you pin it up there somewhere. And so you're confronted with these verses every day. And you are reminded by these verses every day. Now, the one verse that I clung onto all through my experience in having my first child, right through even up to the present, and these and being my conviction, is found in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. So I'd ask you to turn to that verse, please. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. This was my verse. And as far as I was concerned, when they gave me the verses, I believed in the verses that they gave me to be from the Bible and to be the Word of God. I believe that. And hence I needed to put that into practice. So in Proverbs 22, verse 6, this is my verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now remember, this is in relation to my little girl. I needed to know what to do. And so in the claiming of this verse, I claimed this in a sense that if I did what God wanted me to do in this training up a child, then I held God to be true to his word, that when they are old, they will not depart from it. And through that whole time, no matter how hard it got for me, how difficult it got for me in my relationship as a father to children, that verse was always in my mind, and I believe it was a work of God, the Holy Spirit, reminding me of the decision that I had made, reminding me that this is God's word and I was to obey it. Now, how do you begin? That's the big question. What does it mean in the Bible to train a child? And if I trained my child, my little girl, how will I know when I got there? How will I know the results of my training? When will I be able to know that I have trained my child? This is what I needed to know. I needed to know the beginning, but I also needed to know the result of if I had trained them. Otherwise, it's just going round and round and being totally aimless. And there was a link that I understood in relation to God the Father, God our, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father and his adopted children. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you are an adopted child. You have been adopted into his family. Scripture says in Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:5. We are adopted. We are the Father's children if we know them. You have heard it said umpteen times, and I've heard it I don't know how many times from pastor from this pulpit, where he says a Christian's responsible is to obey God's word. Right? It's to obey your Heavenly Father. A child obeys his father. There's the link and there's the relationship. Now, if a child knows what the father wants and doesn't do it, what is that? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you can choose to disobey the word of God, but that's sin. It's disobedience. And hence, I understood that the training up of a child means to teach a child to obey the word, the command of his father and also his mother, by the way, as the father will teach. And the father only needs to speak once and it's obeyed. That's the ultimate goal and that's the ultimate aim. So that an adopted child to the Heavenly Father, when God the Father speaks, we obey once. We don't start arguing and going on like a pork chop and going over a long period of time. We obey. There's the goal, and I realise that. You don't have to tell your child 100 times and threaten them with all sorts of violence before you get anywhere with them. Or you just walk away frustrated and you don't know what to do. You tell the child and that child obeys. They do what you tell them. It's pretty strong language, isn't it? But we're getting to the verses. Consider this. If a child is taught to obey his father, then that child will know how to obey his or her heavenly father. And that's the preparation that we have in our children so that they will obey the Heavenly Father. Most important to remember. And so, not only has God given us his word that we need to train our children, but he has also given us the means to do so. If God says something, you'll know how you are to go about it. And so I'm asking you again, print out the verses that I'm going to share with you. And if you want to write out your own captions on it, because if you're going to obey the word of God, you need to stay strong. Sometimes you can weaken. And if you weaken, because it's going to be a struggle with the child's going to oppose you. And the child's going to get every advantage it can by going against you. And a child knows exactly how to play the father against the mother. I've seen it done time and time again. We need to be careful. If you talk to your husband or to your wife, don't speak in front of your children. Go somewhere private. Make sure that your children understand that you're at one. And then you both agree when it comes to the things of the Lord. So, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 23, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter 23. Now, somebody might say, it's Old Testament. Who's the father of faith in the Bible? Abraham. Is Abraham in the Old Testament? Yes. Was Abraham before the law? Yes. The book of Proverbs. What is the title? What's it called? The book of what? Wisdom. So let's not go down that road and use that excuse. Just because it's Old Testament, it's no longer relevant. Because it is. You believe God's word. So Proverbs chapter 23 verse 14 is a very confronting verse. It says there, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from where? From hell. This is God's word speaking, beloved. This is what he says that we are supposed to do to train up our children. And initially we might respond and say, I'm not doing that. That is cruel. That is barbaric. I'm not going to hit my children. I'm not doing that. I'm going to bring them up in another way. Now consider putting a caption on that verse as you put it up. And here's the caption that I would suggest. Where will my child or children spend eternity? You know, we claim to be soul winners, don't we? This is a soul winning church. We say that. And we believe that a church should be soul winning. We believe in fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we want to do that. We tell other people about it, Christ. How about We start in our own backyards and practice what we preach. Amen? It's awful quiet, but you think about it. Now, if it's cruel to chasten your children with the rod, it says the rod. It doesn't say your hands, because your hands are for affection. You don't use your hands to chasten your children. You use the rod. Now, what's more cruel? Using the rod on your children, or they end up in hell? See what I mean about how confronting this verse is? But the Bible is very, very clear on that. And I don't know how many parents, Christian parents, when their children have grown up, they've gone the way of the world. Never look back again. Where are they going to go? And the parent is agonizing because they've lost their child or their children. They're weeping. And these parents may be godly parents, but they've lost their children. They will end up facing what the Bible refers to as the second death. Is that where you want your children to go? Look at the verse, then pin it up on the wall and keep reminding yourself, where will my children spend eternity? So God's not only given us what we should do in correcting our children, He's also given us the means, and that is to use the rod. It's what it says in the Bible. Do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God? Do you believe in obeying the Bible? Well, then you better obey these verses. No good trying to get away or explain them. Now, go to chapter 22 in Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Look at verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And this verse is just absolutely amazing. It seems as God, the Holy Spirit, had already foreseen that there will be all sorts of excuses why they don't use the rod to train their children. He shall not die. So there's another one that we need to be reminded. Now have a look at verse 24, chapter 13, verse 24. Consider this. He that spareth his rod, so I'm not going to smack my children with the rod. What does he do? Hateth his son. But he that loveth him, chasten him betimes. This is God's view. This is God's opinion of what we should be doing. And if you have an argument or a disagreement, your argument and disagreement is with the Scripture. But be assured, whatever you decide, your children are going to suffer the consequences. And that's what we need to be reminded. Here's a caption you can put under this verse on your A4 sheet of paper. You tell yourself, do I love my son? Do I love my son? And if I do, what will I do? I won't spare the rod. I want you to turn to chapter 22, if you will, in Proverbs, please. Chapter 22, verse 15. Now, don't forget, these are the verses that I was given in the 70s. These are the verses that I was confronted in the 70s. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now we know what the problem is with the child. Now we know what the parent, what the father, seeks to do regarding the correction of the child by using the rod. And if you go to 29, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. It says here, the rod and reproof for what? For wisdom. But a child left to himself, now this is interesting, bringeth his mother to shame. Isn't it interesting? Not his father, it bringeth his mother to shame. And there's a great big caption that you can put on your A4 sheet. And this is what I thought I would put on. I stay at home and keep my children at home because I feel ashamed at their behaviour in public. You only got to go to the supermarkets. I can't take them anywhere without being embarrassed and humiliated at their behaviour. And to finish up the caption, my friends don't invite us anymore because of the behaviour of my children. Think about it. All these verses are from the Book of Wisdom. Now, what about our Heavenly Father as the example relating to his adopted children? And that's why I asked our brother to read in the Bible reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 to 17. I just want you to turn back to Hebrews chapter 12, if you will, please. And we'll see what the Father does, what our Heavenly Father does in relation to his adopted children. To see if our Heavenly Father is consistent with what it says in reproof and correction and using the rod in the book of Proverbs. We're not going to read it all again. You can see for yourself. But I want you to look at verse 5. And I want you to look at the word chastening. And if you're used to using Strong's for definitions of words in the Bible or whatever, and I've already looked it up, the word chastening, listen what it means in verse 5. Education or training. By implication, listen, disciplinary correction. That's what our Heavenly Father does to his adopted children. If you're saved, that's what he does to you. And I've heard many times witnesses or people saying that the Lord took them behind the woodshed and belted the tar out of them, rebuked them, in other words, because of what they did in disobeying the Lord. Also, the word rebuked in verse 5, it means to convict, to convince, tell a fault, reprove. Now here's an interesting word. Have a look at verse 6. See that word scourgeth? Strong only has two words on that. It's interesting. You know what that word scourgeth means? It means to flog. The father flogs his children. That's what it's saying. And God the Father sets the example. And be aware that we don't get this thing all out of proportion. We are talking about our eternal state, where we are going to spend eternity. That's what we're talking about. Where our children are going to spend eternity. And it is worthwhile, fathers and mothers, making the effort to make sure that your children go to heaven. And the only way to make sure is when you do what God says and when you take him at his word, when you obey his word, then God will keep his word and will fulfill it. As hard as it seems to the parents, that's what we got to do. The example is of the Heavenly Father to his adopted children. Verse 7 of Hebrews. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And that word chasten means, listen, to train up a child. How about that? Train up, that is educate. Can you see the link? Can you see the plain link? The father treats his adopted children in exactly the same way. Now, when I received the verses, I believed them and I didn't struggle with them, because there is a difference between the early 1970s, when I was a young lad, just married, and I had one child, and to today. The rod was a common thing at that time. I received six of the best when I went to school. And I don't know if you have any idea what it means to get the cane from school. But basically, the child is called out to the front, and I got the cane because I was wrestling with some Belgian kid and I got caught and in trouble. So you're called out and you stand there, and the headmaster comes in, and the rod's about that long. It's made of cane about that thick. And he's got it there, and he soaks all his rods in water in a big container and whatever. So he comes around and he's got the cane, and he's standing there and he's got this thing ready. So out the front you go. Now the aim, because I wasn't a little kid anymore, but my aim, I didn't want to cry because there was girls in the class, and the boys don't cry before girls, do they? So I got called out the front and I had to get six. So what you do, you stand and he faces you, and you hold out your hand like that. And then he stands back and he lines up this hand and he goes full force. Whack! Right on your hand. Much pain, much pain. Now the temptation when you get the cane is when it comes down, you go like this and he misses and he hits his leg. If you do, you get more. You got that? So you hang on. Three on this hand, and three on this hand. I didn't cry. But my hands were blue. It was so painful. You know, I remember that to this day. The cane was in the schools. The cane was common. And American missionaries who were involved in starting churches in Australia, because they were coming into their droves, starting everywhere. And when you go to visit these houses, have a guess what you see on the wall. A sign, the rod of correction is hanging on the wall. So it was there as a reminder to the parents that they were to be consistent in using that, but it was also a reminder for Junior. You disobey your father, you disobey your mother, and there it is hanging on the wall. You can be certain and you can be sure you're not going to get away with it. You're going to cop the rod. So it was not a big issue or a big drama in my day. I didn't get such a tremendous shock when it comes to using the rod. See the comparison? Nowadays, people freak out. And I remember when I first put that to use. This is a hard thing for me to share. My little girl was just crawling. She wasn't even walking. She was crawling. And I was sitting in the lounge room, and my little girl was in the dining room, and my wife was in the kitchen, and it was like an L shape. And I sat down, and I said, "Jody, come here." And she looked at me, and she took no notice, didn't do it. So I got up and I cracked her on the leg, and it hurt. I cracked her on the leg. She started to cry and I sat down. "Jody, come here." And she didn't. I got up, cracked her on the leg, sat down. "Jody, come here." She was all upset and crying, and she started to crawl to Mum for comfort. And my wife knew what was happening, and so she took no notice of my little girl. I don't know how many times I had to do that. And at the last time, she came and she crawled to me and climbed into my arms and we hugged and kissed. And it broke my heart, but it also broke hers. I've never forgotten that, but that was the very start. And I have four children, so I had to train my little girl and I had to train my three boys. Extremely difficult. I had to learn to be consistent. I had to learn not to hit in anger. I had to learn that I was doing it for correction. And let me tell you this. In 2023, my four children all know the Lord. My four children are all married in equal yokes. They married believers. All my children, four children, are involved in churches. My little girl, Jody, is a pastor's wife. Why do I say that? Am I saying that to pat myself on the back and so that you say, wow, that's profound? So that you're gonna look up at me and say, this guy did a great job. Why I'm saying that is because I obeyed God's word and I did what he wanted me to do, as hard as it was, and God kept his word. I trained up my children and my children are old and they'll not depart from it. But that's not where it ends. I have 13 grandchildren. As far as I know, they're all saved. They all belong to the Lord. The discipline is the same. What a blessing. God is true to his word. If you hold him, God will fulfill his promise. But if you don't do what he says, don't expect your children to grow up and to be model Christians. Always bear in mind that there is a Christless eternity that is waiting to claim them. Wouldn't it break your heart if you didn't train your children and your children are there and it's your fault? It's your fault because you didn't do it. It's your fault. Wouldn't that break your heart? But that's what happens. Now, there's a prophecy, by the way. I'm nearly done. There's a prophecy about children in this day and age. And I want you to turn, as the last reference, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here we are. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read the 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read the passage and you find out where the prophecy is, right? In relation to children. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verses 1 to 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's true today. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. What are the next words? Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. There it is, disobedience to parents. Every time I turn on the news, there's some teenager that has stolen a car and killed somebody. There are teenagers in prison and everybody is freaking out as to what to do with it. There are kids in Alice Springs that are running riot and wild, and the adults are afraid of these children. They don't know what to do. And here they are going backwards and forwards and blaming one another. And they fail to see the elephant in the room, which is what? It's the parents. Children should be at home after school doing homework and so on. It's the parents. It's a sign of the times. And this is why I say it's recorded here, disobedient to parents. Now, I wonder if you're in that lot. If your children obey you, when you speak that they will obey you. And if you go visiting a family, that they will compliment you on the behaviour of your children, rather than thinking, oh, thank goodness they're gone, they've wrecked my place. And if you say anything to the parents, what happens? They get highly offended. They get, how dare you? And disobedient to the word of God. And then they wonder what happens to their children. It's such an important reminder that fathers, you have an awesome responsibility. Make sure your children don't go to hell. Use God's word and do what he says, and commit yourself unto the Lord. That's difficult. And keep your word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And even though what's been shared this morning may be so foreign and strange to the hearers, and some are wondering what's going on, gracious Father, that they will be mindful to obey thy word. That they will be mindful of thy dealing with thine adopted children. We are reminded, gracious Father, that if we do what thou sayest, thou will honour thy word. Thou will keep thy word. And as we one day are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if we're saved, that we will have our jewels with us. Our jewels being our children. Instill that upon our mind and upon our memory. And gracious Father, we pray that we might not be hearers of the word only, but doers as well. These things we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.